Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news, you can save a bunch of money. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Who's ready for the second half? RellOnTheBench.com. That's who. Every pick, every play, every game, everything that's on the board every day. Get an email. All the picks are ranked favorite to least. You're going to love it. I've even got boxing and MMA snags on there for you to make you some fat paper. RellOnTheBench.com. The best picks, the best price. Buck a day, son. Sign up today. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. Hide the money from your wife. So, I was just thinking, they were showing Pelicans highlights on the TV. Thanks. We really don't want to watch Pelican highlights anymore. Now that he's not playing anymore in the summer league, there's no point showing their games.
I actually read today by a couple people that are still out there that despite Zion having gone out after their first game, the Pelicans have still been a very exciting team to watch at the Vegas Summer League. They've been a lot of fun.
Congratulations. I don't want to watch them at all. And since he's not playing, they keep showing him sitting on the bench like they do, where they'll like show Mike Krzyzewski's wife for the whole month of March sitting in the seats. You know what I mean? Like, just they'll just show someone for no reason other than to show Zion sitting there in his warm-ups or whatever outfit he's wearing. Like, is there anything worse than that in sports television?
It's pretty tough.
The only thing worse than that is when they show people that sit behind the announcers and wave at the camera, or that sit behind home plate and wave at the camera to get on television because they're such a loser.
Look at me.
Yeah, is there anything worse? I mean, honestly. The Nets' four-year, $164 million pact with Kevin Durant is actually a 3-1, 3+1 that contains a player option. So 3 years, and then he can opt out.
I actually read today, and this was a pretty good laugh that I had, another one of these NBA guys, there's so many of them out in Vegas, that there are people that think that he can be ready in like 6.5, 7 months.
So you're hearing that people are saying...
No, this is not getting out. This is not anybody major. I just saw a couple people saying that they think that there are some whispers that he could be ready in 6.5 to 7 months.
That's just not true.
Do you think that after he tried to come back from the calf and blew out his Achilles, there's any chance this guy isn't taking the longest amount of time he can to come back?
He is not going to play basketball until an entire season is gone and over, and the draft and free agency. And then the following November, he's playing. He's missing a year and a half. That's what he's missing.
And with that silly player option, which all these guys clearly get now in the NBA, he's really, at the end of the day, going to play for the Nets for 2 years.
2 years.
Unless he re-ups with them, of course. But as a, for a four-year deal that he is signing with them,
he's playing 2 years.
He's going to play 2 years for them if he doesn't stay.
What a deal. What did I say it was, $164 million?
Something like that.
Man, he's never going to play. Nice deal. According to Mark Spears, free agent Marcus Morris, who committed to a two-year $20 million Spurs deal, is now reconsidering that and thinking about signing a one-year deal with the Knicks, who've had additional cap space because of a Reggie Bullock situation. Does he have some kind of injury or something now they're worried about and they're going to go get Morris?
Something's wrong with him.
No one cares. What's wrong with Reggie Bullock? No one cares.
Knicks are going to run some unit out there this year. Going to be competitive, though.
I'm trying to watch. I have the game on. I actually am watching the Warriors game, and I'm having a tremendous amount of difficulty keeping my phone upright to watch the game. I can't even tell you. But there you go. I got it working now.
Who are they playing?
The Warriors and Nuggets, and the Nuggets are up 11. How about our boy Amari Stat Israel? Amari Israel, your boy Amari Stoudemire, suggesting that he has a lot to offer NBA teams. A lot of teams have young players, a lot of players that can learn how to train, how to be a real pro, how to become great basketball players. And leadership goes a long way with teams in order to get from a playoff team to a championship team. From that standpoint, I have a lot to offer. Also, as a basketball player, I still have a lot of game left. I can help a team in any way they need. They had private workouts for him Monday in Vegas. The workout went great. I've been training all summer, keeping myself in top shape. My body feels amazing. We'll see if the opportunity becomes reality. Do you believe that Amari Stapp will get back in the NBA?
No. Hey, listen, once you start playing in the Big Three, you stay there, okay?
Only way he's coming to the NBA is as a coach. No one signed him to play, to teach these guys a thing or two. They signed coaches to do that, not players.
I'm getting a lot of grief here, apparently, throughout the evening. I'm getting all kinds of messages here from people that want me to give a shout-out to Manitoba, I believe, is what they want from me. They're driving me nuts in here on my phone. I can't even watch the game. I've gotten so many requests. This guy is just – he just won't stop. And he's very mad at Kawhi Leonard. Anyway. I give Canada some love there. Does that make him feel better? Will you stop bothering me now? Would that be all right? Like, I don't care if you text me and send me emails and tweets and all this other stuff. It's just that I can't even watch the game because you're giving me so many. Honestly, like, I just want to give you love so you'll stop, like, interfering with my one chance to watch the basketball game because it can only come in on my phone. Would that be all right? Would that be all right with everyone? Seriously, Carver High, don't you think it's fair that I should be entitled to watch the game without, like, 50 million?
Yeah, I would just freeze them out.
But I'm getting 50 million texts at once. Just, I've already given you some love, so thanks. Now, do me a favor and leave me alone so I can watch the game. Would that be all right? My boy Darcy Tucker in Manitoba. Remember Darcy Tucker?
How could I forget him?
All right, now I want to shift to one other NBA fallout, the Big Three. Our boy Lamar Odom has been dealt with severely, kicked out of the Big Three, as well as Baron Davis, Jermaine O'Neal, and Bonzi Wells.
Bonzi!
How is it that Jermaine O'Neal, who had such massive game, I thought he was a really good player in the NBA. I mean, I thought he had game, right? Jermaine O'Neal. How is it that he's only been out of the league a few years and he's already so bad that they kick him out of the Big Three?
They're not kicking him out because he's bad.
Well, yeah, they are.
I don't think that they're kicking him out for that reason. Is that why?
They deactivated him for the remainder of the season, all of them, because they couldn't play against maximum competition. They could not live up to it. I mean, bottom line is they said they weren't ready to play.
Well, doesn't Jermaine O'Neal have, like, that growing marijuana empire that he's involved in?
Jermaine O'Neal?
Doesn't he?
Jeez, I hope so, for his sake. You know what I mean? Like, I hope all people have a piece of that action going. I know a few that do. Anyway. So everyone thought all this great stuff was going to happen with... Oh, it was Al Harrington. Anyway, so your boy, but wasn't Lamar Odom was the big story going into the Big Three season that he was making this great comeback and that he was doing great. And remember he was on death. Didn't he die like 7 times in a brothel?
Something like that.
But didn't he die and they brought him back from the dead? Because didn't he write a book about it or something? Didn't he do a movie that because he was, wasn't he like married to one of the Kardashians or something? And then he ended up on the floor of a brothel that my buddy owned. I was friends with Dennis Hoff. He died. People are still suing him. Can you just let the guy rest in peace? Would that be all right? Right? Like, aren't these people all suing him? And trying to, they want to keep that place closed forever, right? They don't want that brothel, the Bunny Ranch, to be open. Because he was just running an absolute debauchery central there. How many times did he try to get me to go there, Mafia, to the brothel?
Constantly. You had an open invite anytime you wanted to go.
Every time I was in Vegas, they tried to send a limo to get me to go out there and see what kind of things I could pick up.
Every time he was visiting New York with whatever girls he was bringing, doing whatever interviews, and he saw you, especially when we were at the other planet, he always stopped by and be like, when are you going to come by?
He always came to visit me at the Howard Stern channels.
He did, for sure.
He loved me. I love that guy. Rest in peace, Dennis. He was cool. I thought he was cool, didn't you?
Seemed like a nice guy.
I thought he never brushed
me the wrong way.
I thought the women that he brought were wackos. Do you remember some of them? They were just completely sketchy and gross.
Well, you're not usually, you know, having a great upbringing.
Come on, can I get some hookers that have some class here?
You're not, you know, getting top shelf people to sell their bodies usually.
Come on, mafia, can you get me a prostitute that knows how to eat in a nice restaurant?
Julia Roberts is not walking through that door. There is no pretty woman.
Larry Bird is not walking through that door, mister. Remember your boy? Who did that? Patino. Aaron in Virginia, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Pharrell, thanks for taking my call. I love the show.
Hey, thanks.
I just wanted to talk about the Lakers, and, you know, I don't know how everybody's anointing them arrived back in the West.
Right.
We don't know the full extent of LeBron's injury, so we don't know how he's going to look next year. Kuzma, people are talking about him like he's an all-star. He hasn't averaged over 20 a season yet. And I just don't see, with the competition in the West, how we can already say the Lakers are going to be the 1 and 2 seed.
Yeah, I don't agree with it either. I think that everybody's way ahead of themselves. That their favorite to win the NBA championship is ridiculous, if you ask me, to be honest with you.
I completely agree.
But look, I think Kuzma's a good player. Don't get me wrong. He can definitely fill it up. But he's...
Yeah, out of all those young guys, he was the best they had.
Fair enough, but he's not anywhere in the league of LeBron or Davis. I'm sorry. He's really – they're going to make him, it would appear to me, a starter and a significant player on that franchise. And I like, you know – I mean, they're going to play him till he, you know, bleeds. I mean, the guy's going to get Muko minutes, but I actually thought he was like a – you know, the best player on the floor on their second unit. You know what I mean? I kind of felt like he was just a really great role player for that team. But they've tried to make him a star. That's what maybe I think their problem is. Fair enough. Is anybody with me on that? Like, I don't think he's that great. They try to make him out to be this great player. And I think he's good for sure. But I thought he'd be like a star of the second unit. You know what I mean? Like, Lute Williams is a flat-out star player, sixth man of the year 3 times, that comes off the bench. I thought that's what Kuzma would be. The star when LeBron and Davis take a rest. You know what I mean?
Still got a ways to go with him.
Well, obviously.
He hasn't really – you got to give him more time to reach what people think he's going to get.
Right. So when we come back and we get into all this stuff, like Garrett Cole calls out tanking baseball teams, and then the players in baseball are furious, and they're going to strike over the economy of baseball, that they're all united. United about what? Are they not making enough money in baseball? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, the last two free agencies, when you had all these big names coming through, there was a lot of guys that were just left. I mean, how J.D. Martinez is getting ripped off in Boston, basically.
Well, I'll give you that, but are baseball players not raking? I mean, honestly, I just don't understand that at all. I've got all that I can take. That the baseball players are mad? You know what? You know who should be mad? I'll be honest with you. Can you even compare those NBA contracts with, like, the NHL contracts? Oh, my God. Like, the NBA players are making $170 million, $200 million, $250 million, and these hockey players are making $10 million? I mean, honestly, the highest paid guy, is he not $11.5 million? 12? $12.5 million is the highest paid player in the league. 12 and a half.
Average, yeah.
That's the lowest paid guy on the Lakers. I mean, honestly, it is unbelievable.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, Chuck in Pittsburgh, I believe. You're on CBS Sports Radio on The Fan.
Yeah, good morning, Scott.
Hey.
First-time caller. Pleased to be talking to you.
My man. How you doing, Chuck?
Fine, Scott. First of all, I'd like to express my condolences on the loss of your father.
Thanks, buddy.
It's just awful that, you know, let's hope he's resting in a better place.
Yeah, you know, I hope he is. I got to bury him with my mother, so, and you know, my grandparents are in that cemetery as well in Mount Lebanon, so it's good to, you know, at the very least, to have my whole, like, generations of my family there in that cemetery, and that, you know, my mom was just so kick-ass and so much fun, and she was, like, the coolest chick ever. She really was a blast. She partied and lived life to the fullest. I mean, like no other. And she was a huge, I mean, enormous Michigan football fan. Like, this chick was gone. I mean, absolutely gone on the Wolverines and basketball as well. So, but football more. She loved football, and she loved the Michigan Wolverines. Go Blue. She hated Ohio State dead. And, I mean, she hated them like no other. And the fact that she died a long time ago, but the fact that I finally got to put my dad in that mausoleum with my mother, actually for me, felt good to put them together again, because it was a love affair of 40 years like no other. My dad and mom really loved each other a lot. There was never – I never had to worry about, as a kid, luckily enough for me, because I know a million people have been through that, divorce and everything else as a kid – I never had to worry about that because my parents were inseparable. So that was pretty cool. And you know, I always felt bad that she died young and I had to put her in that wall. And then she sat there for 30 years waiting for my dad to come home. But it was cool to put him in there with her. And I felt like I had accomplished something by getting them back together again.
Well, let's hope they're in a better place forever. But anyhow, I was going to tell you, your dad and I have something in common. I am a lifelong, passionate Pittsburgh Pirates fan.
Right.
And Scotty, I haven't been able to attend many games over the years because I'm confined to a motorized wheelchair with cerebral palsy.
I'm sorry that you have to deal with that, but do you get to watch the games every night on TV?
Oh, Scott, I don't miss. There are two things in my life that are important to me. Being a Catholic, I attend Mass every day,
right?
My daily Mass and my Pirate ball game.
Well, I believe that. And, you know, when I don't go to Mass, my priest gives me the business. He lives next door to me. He came over yesterday to my house to grieve with me after my father passed because he knew my dad really well. And he knew that my dad knew that I had, you know, converted to Catholicism because of my wife. And I joined the Catholic Church, and I go to Mass all the time because I grew up, like, in an Episcopalian church in Pittsburgh, and I didn't – I also went to John Guest Church in Swickley. So I know, you know, I've never been in the Catholic Church, and then now I am in the Catholic Church, and I go to Mass. And when I don't go to Mass, I literally – he gives me the business. He gives me, like – I got, like, bad luck coming, bad vibes, all the, if I don't go, this guy rides me like no other. He's like, he'll drive by me in his truck and give me, he'll give me, like, he won't give me the finger, but he'll give me the whole arm. He'll give me, like, the hooya tooya arm if I don't go to Mass. But I know a guy, this guy Vinny I knew, old man Vinny, he went to Mass every day of his life for like 70 years. This guy went every single morning for 70 years. He died. He was like 95. This guy went to church every day of his life. But he wasn't a Pirate fan like you and I are. I like watching the Pirate games. I love the Bucks, and I'll go to my grave a Pirate fan. My dad never missed a game ever, and he went to season tickets for 40-plus years. The guy was nuts. Anyway, what did you want to say? You heard me on the fan this morning?
Yeah. Talking to Ron Cook, I'm a lifelong Roberto Clemente fan.
Right, who isn't?
I mean, I just thought he was the world, you know. And
I wanted to tell you one thing. I got my dad's Mazeroski picture of the 1967, the walk-off home run in Game 7. I got that picture of him hitting the ball and autographed. That was the one thing I got from my dad. I got a photo of Forbes Field. I got a photo of Mazeroski hitting a home run, autographed. And I also have the baseball of the 1938 All-Star, American League All-Star lineup, all signed by every one of them. And other than that, I'm worthless.
I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, my wife would.
No. Let's hope that's not the case. But anyway, I actually don't live in Pittsburgh. I live about 45 miles to the southeast in Uniontown.
I know where it is.
But anyhow, I'm 67 years old, and I am an accountant and tax preparer. I have been for 45 years.
Well, it sounds like you're doing all right. Are you still doing it, even though you're having the problems?
Scott, my eyesight isn't quite as good anymore.
Right.
But I still manage to work because anymore, Scott. You have to. There's so many financial and other demands,
right.
You know,
right.
that never quit. And you, I mean, as long as God gives me the ability to do it,
right.
You know, I have to do it.
My uncle, Huey's got, he lost his vision now. He's kind of gone deaf and blind. And so what I do, Chuck, as you know, whenever I'm around him, I steal money from him because he can't see me doing it. I'm just kidding, Chuck. I'm not that mean. But I just thought it would sound good on the air if I told that story. Chuck, I love you. Go Bucks. You're the man. Thanks for calling and supporting the Pirates. And I'm glad you got to hear me with Ron Cook today on The Fan. There's my man, Chuck, in Uniontown, outside of Pittsburgh. Confined to a wheelchair, dealing with all kinds of ramifications, but still watching every Pirate game and goes to Mass every day. I even heard a rumor that he does wheelies in the parking lot of the church in his wheelchair, much like TR did in his final days. As I tore around the parking lot with his wheelchair, and he had a great amount of joy and fun doing that at high speeds and also grabbing candy stripers' asses. Wait, are we allowed to say that on the air? Are we on the air? Hello? Check 1, 2. Candy striper Summerfest. Mavi, do you remember when I had my hand surgery and they put me on morphine and I asked the 75-year-old woman if she wanted to have relations with me and it didn't go over too well?
Yes, it did not. You got a very cold reception.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So I just want to be brief on this thing. I don't know much about it other than I know we're going off in Boston on the hub here eventually on like something like the July 17th or something like that. And then I know that's upsetting to some people, and it is what it is. All I know is we're going off there on the those dates, whatever it is, 17th, 18th. That'll be the last show. And then we'll be back on in Boston on August 5th. With a new affiliate, and it will all be fine and dandy and kick-ass, trust me, you. Because we already kick-ass and take names there, and I'll continue to do that on a different station, so get ready for that. I really don't care which one I'm on, to be honest with you. You want to put me on a station, we'll see what happens. I'll kick-ass and take names either way. And then if you don't believe in any of that, then I got something for you. I'll give you one of those elbows to the nose I've been known to throw in the paint. Anyway, so that's that. I'm not that worried about all the politics of radio. I don't get involved. Somebody asked me once, I had a guy ask me, I told Mafia this story. He wanted me to help him do something in radio. And I said, Mafia knows this is true. I was like, I don't know anyone in radio. I said, I'm on all over North America. And I said, I don't know anyone. I really don't. He's like, what do you mean? I go, I have zero relationship with any of them. I don't know any of these people. I don't want to know any of them. Is that all right, Carver High, that I don't get involved in all that suits and everything?
Probably better off.
Well, I know the suits here. I know the one that I answer to, and that's about it. I've never met anyone else. I know the guy in Pittsburgh. I love him. I think that guy's great. And my guy Jim Gracie, he does me up. How about that guy, Carver High? Every time I have a problem in Pittsburgh, people dying and everything, I'm always running back to The Fan in Pittsburgh and doing my show with your boy Cale Berger. Did you like his imitation of me?
Yeah, like I said the other night, that was without question a top three Pharrell impersonation.
All right. So anyway, I really don't know a lot about politics of radio. I'm not privy to any of that world. Because I'm too cool to be involved in it. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. I just don't. I just do a show. I've done it forever, as you know, and I'm cooler than everyone. And I don't hang out with radio people. Does that make me a bad person? I mean, like radio suits, like bosses and power and all that. I guess. So the guy's like, can you help me do this? I said, I don't know anyone. I wouldn't know what to tell you. I don't know who to. I wouldn't know who to call. I don't have those kind of connections. I really don't have anything to do with anyone at all other than Carver High and Mafia. And as you know, Mafia, most of my friends are felons and drug dealers.
They were at one time, that is for sure.
And they still are.
Some still are, yeah.
Well, and some aren't. Neither one of you guys are felons or drug dealers. But are the guys on my basketball team felons and drug dealers?
Not anymore.
They're athletes. Oh, wait, we got rid of some of the drug dealers.
We did.
Thank you. Thomas. Thank you. Thomas in New Orleans.
Scotty, God bless your dad and God bless Chuck.
Thank you. And God bless Chuck for sure.
I mean, I love him. You know, I got an account with 2020 Vision. That SOB hasn't found me at the Ducks in 5 years. I need to go see Chuck.
That's you do.
No good son of a. Anyway, I'm Catholic too. Last time I went to confession, I said what I had to say, got everything off my chest, asked my priest, you got anything you need to say to me? Crickets.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I believe that. And you know what mine says to me all the time? And then so did the great pastor in Pittsburgh, John Guest. I said, you know, I shouldn't be allowed to do the eulogy based on my sinning past. And he said, we all are sinners, Scott, all of us. And I'm like, that makes me feel better.
Yeah, he's always saying to me, yeah, Thomas, you need a good confession. You need a good confession. I said, I need a good confession. Anyway.
Yeah, really.
Hey, this women's soccer thing, I'm really proud of the team. They did great.
Right.
Every 4 years this comes around,
right,
and it lasts for about 2 weeks. And fair doesn't mean equal. It does. I'm not listening. Does anybody realize there's a women's pro soccer league in the USA? They don't. They're 16.
Right.
All right. And but fair doesn't mean equal. And, I mean, I don't know. I may be wrong at this, but it's my understanding. You know, I was told by a guy, right? We all know a guy.
Right.
That the men receive 8%. I don't know how they have their distributions with the World
Cup. Carver High probably knows what it is.
But I don't know how they do the revenue sharing with soccer from the World Cup. But it's my understanding the men get 8% of whatever the piece of the pie is for them. The women get 13% of their piece of the pie. But if the men are bringing in $4 billion, not the U.S. men, but the men's World Cup with TV rights, ticket revenue,
right,
if they're bringing in $4 billion, and the women are bringing in $500 million. I mean, how do you pay everybody equal?
Listen, I got to tell you that. Listen, Tom, it's a great question that they should have on an SAT test. I skipped school that day. I have no idea. You lost me. If they're at $8 billion and they're at $500 million and they get 13% of the 8%.
Leaves from New York at 45 miles an hour.
Right, I can't. D, all of the above. It gets me out of the exam room quicker.
Where will they meet?
I will say this. I would agree with you on the part of the conversation at the very beginning when you said, this is all going to blow over in a couple weeks. Because Carver High told me the same thing. He's like, don't worry. In 3 days, you won't even remember it happened.
Well, look.
I just don't care. I thought they were awesome, and I watched the entire game on Sunday in Pittsburgh in a pouring rain. And I enjoyed watching them win. I was happy for them. And now, and God bless them, they're badasses. I don't care at all after the fact. Like, I was like, yeah, that's awesome, way to go. Now I'm done with it. But as far as their pay goes, I'll say this. I believe firmly, I agree with them, that they should make the same amount of money. Why not? They do in women's, at the Wimbledon, they pay them both the same. What do I care if women make the same amount of money as men? I could care less. Have at it.
Yeah, look, they definitely have to do something about how the pie gets split. I know that, as the gentleman was saying, the pie is not as large as it is in the men's game.
Right.
There's no question about that. It's a sad but true fact. I mean, honestly, 24 hours from now, for a lot of the majority of people right in this country, you won't hear about them again for another 4 years. It is what it is. Me personally, I've had a big problem with people getting on them for celebrating, for acting, you know, being pumped up that they won and doing.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
I got a big problem with all that because they should be able to do whatever they want.
Do whatever you want when you score.
It is what it is. Is the political stuff a little out of control? Probably.
Yeah.
But that's everywhere. So that is what it is. Let them have their fun.
When they in sports nowadays, when you're doing well, you should be allowed to have the political. You get the table at the politics. Whenever you got some juice going, you're allowed to get up on the world stage and sell your politics to everybody.
Well, everybody does it. Okay,
I get sick of that.
I'm sick of it too. But everybody does it, so I'm not going to get on them for doing it when everybody else does it.
I don't care about their politics.
But look, here's the sad, unfortunate thing.
Yeah.
24 to 36 hours from now, nobody's going to talk about him again for 4 years.
There you go. Congratulations. Johnny in Vegas. Johnny.
Yo, Scotty.
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted, before anything else, just to send my deepest to your by your passing. Your
thanks.
Thing.
Thanks,
hey,
brother.
I know you guys, you know, but I guess the hurt, I guess life just goes on. It's really something to be totally powerless in this situation, but it's all good. Hey, I'm glad to hear you're coming to town. Finally, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we come to Vegas a lot for fights and for football and Super Bowl parties and everything else.
Hey, I think the last time you were here was the NCAAs, right?
I think the Super Bowl was the last time we were there, and that was, we were downtown for that at the D, and now
that's where, yes.
Allegedly, we're going back there in the last week of August to do the same thing again, fantasy football draft and the first week of college football games on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I think we'll do a bunch of shows from the D again. I'm guessing, I've been told this is all happening, but we'll see how it comes to fruition. But I always enjoy, we'll be in Vegas next week doing Pacquiao Thurman. I'm looking forward to that. So we'll see you out there. We'll be doing the show at the MGM. I know they don't give access to that tent. They don't have access, so...
Yeah, this isn't going to be like where you come see us at the D and stuff like that.
No, but you can go down the escalators, and you can stand outside of that press tent and say, hey, can you get a message in to Pharrell? I'd like to meet him, or can Pharrell come out here and say hi to us and take a picture? And I'll come out there with Carver High and say hi to you. If you come down the escalators of the MGM and you want to meet us, we're cool with that. We're not jerks. Only on Thursdays. Aiden, we're jerks on Thursdays. Every other day, we're nice people. Aiden, in Portland, Oregon, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Scott. Hey. Aiden here.
Hey, man.
You're a big basketball guy, too, right?
Right.
So I was on Reddit earlier, and I read this post about the idea of if Chris Paul had taken that Supermax with the Clippers and how different things would have been right now.
Right.
I hadn't thought about that, man. The Clippers would have Blake Griffin and CP3. No chance at Kawhi. You might have Kawhi staying in Toronto. Like, you don't have, maybe Houston has a title. Maybe they win or do something instead with Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, and all those guys.
But I think they have a much better chance to be successful with the group they have now, obviously. This is a very stacked team all of a sudden, and I'm sure Doc Rivers is licking his chops. But, you know, I think Chris Paul's been one of the great bank robbers of all time in the NBA. I mean, the money that guy's made for the game that he's delivered, you know, I won't deny the guy's had game, right? He's definitely been a good player, and he's had a great career, if you ask me. But he's never really won anything, right? He never got it done. So, and now a lot of people think he's washed up. And, I mean, I don't think he is completely, but he's never going to be what he was, that's for sure. Noah Syndergaard reportedly drawing interest, Mavia, from the Astros and Brewers. Do you think they'll trade Syndergaard, the Mets? What's next with this team?
Probably. They'll probably trade him, trade Wheeler. Just give up on it all.
Yeah, and the Yankees and Red Sox are interested in Wheeler. I don't believe the Mets like dealing with the Yankees, do they?
No, they won't make a deal with them.
The Astros, Twins, Braves, and Brewers are all interested in Bumgarner. I thought the Yankees were. What's the problem?
We'll see what happens. There's still some time.
John Daly denied the use of a card he'll pull out of the Open Championship, which starts next Thursday when we're in Vegas, Carver High. The Open Championship, my favorite slam.
Man, that'll be going. We're going to have some fun with that. We'll be able to make some plays on that late at night.
There is suggestions that Don Cherry will not be back for next season of the show. Coach's Corner, the 85-year-old hockey personality, said that's crazy. That's absurd. He's disappointed that someone would write about him in a Sunday column that he might not be back. He's been told that he will be back, and there's a little problem there. I guess the reporter thinks he won't be back, and Don Cherry thinks he will be back. Matt Cullen, a longtime NHLer and Penguin. He won two Stanley Cups with the Penguins. Oldest player to ever appear in a game for the team, announced his retirement at age 42. There you go. Rip Torn, the star of the Larry Sanders Show. You remember he was on that show?
Legend.
The actor.
A lot of great stuff.
Great, great actor. Dies at 88. I've had enough of the dying lately. I got to be honest with you. I've had a lot of that. And our friend Jim Bouton, Mafia. He was a longtime Yankee, and he's done my show live. He was in New York when I did Howard Stern, and he did the show with me, the Ball 4 show. I remember having him on my show. He died as well. Everybody's dying lately.
One of the creators of Big League Chew.
Oh, I love Big League Chew. In fact, I got it at that candy store the other day that I was telling you about. Garrett Cole says teams are tanking. About half of the league doesn't care about winning. Do you believe that, Carver High?
I do believe him.
There's just teams tanking.
Look around.
Look around you. By the way, Carver High, after you played the Cinderella Gypsy Road song on Friday night, I proceeded to watch Tom, their lead singer, you remember? His career, his entire career, and watch all kinds of Cinderella videos and songs. I listened to him the whole time I was in Pittsburgh.
Wow, you fell down the rabbit hole on YouTube. Huh?
I fell right down. I was done. It was like binge watching Cinderella. I loved it. I got World Series odds that I won't give you now. I don't have time. And tomorrow we'll talk about the basketball tournament. I know you're very excited about that. That's that big $2 million basketball tournament on TV the rest of the summer that no one cares about except me. And Justin Verlander says the game balls are a Pharrellian joke. They're juiced. And Rob Manfred says baseball has done nothing. They have not altered the baseballs. I believe Justin Verlander. God, a baseball strike? Is that really going to happen? All right, it's good to be back. I'll see you tomorrow night at 10 for Carver High and Mavi and Pharrell. Good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.